Okay.
Torah tells us this week's Sedra, Parshas Noach, that after Noach left the Teva, left the Ark, after the waters of the flood subsided, and he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he could leave the Ark, he gave a korban, he gave a special sacrifice. And the Medrash tells us, or various Medrashim tell us, and many of these Medrashim are quoted by the Rambam, that the spot, the place where Noah gave his carbon, where he gave his sacrifice, where he built his altar, that was the same place where in the future the altar of the Beis HaMikdash would be built. Not only that, but the Medrash tells us that this is the place where Adam HaRishon built an altar when he left the Garden of Eden. And the Medrash also tells us that this was the same spot where Cain and Hevel gave their sacrifices. And of course, this was the spot, this was the area, the exact place, the Rambam emphasizes the point. It was the exact place where the sacrifice, the Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac took place. And it's obvious that the Torah wants to identify the building of the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, the giving of the sacrifices in the temple with the Akedah, with the carbon of Cain and Hevel, with the sacrifice of Noah, and with the sacrifice of Adam HaRishon, of Adam. And we have to understand, what is the connection between all these sacrifices that were given at the same place? And I think it's also important to take notice of the Maimer of Chazal, the expression of our sages, that Adam me makom kaparaso nivra. Man was created from the place of his atonement. Now, what does it mean that man was created from the place of his atonement? In other words, I think we could understand it with a thought that was mentioned by my uncle. I've mentioned it a number of times. Our sages tell us that when God created the world, so before the creation of this world, he created other worlds as well. And the question is, but those worlds did not find favor in the eyes of God. And because these worlds did not find favor in the eyes of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them. And in a sense, there is some connection between Parshas Noach that speaks about how God, the way man was acting, did not find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost to the point that the Torah figuratively says that God was somewhat sorry in the fact that he created man. And because of that, he had to bring the flood to destroy mankind. And the question is, Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God created these other worlds, these earlier worlds? But did not find favor in his eyes and caused him to destroy them. Certainly God understood that these worlds would not find favor in his eyes. Why was it necessary for God to create these worlds? Why didn't he just start off by creating this world? The world that did find favor in his eyes. And also, it's important to understand, why is it that Noah, that this world was a God, although man acted in a manner that God figuratively felt that he regretted creating man, nevertheless, God preserved mankind through Noah and through Noah's children. What was the difference between the other worlds and this world? And in answering the first question, as to why God created the other worlds, even though he knew that he would be forced, that he would destroy them because they did not find favor in his eyes. My uncle said a very beautiful shot. He said that we know there is a mitzvah of a halachta bedrachav. We have to follow in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the destroying of the world. So God, in conducting himself with mankind, conducts himself in a manner that serves as an example, as a lesson. He becomes a teacher in how man should live his life. And man has to understand that just because one time he failed, because one time or two times or three times, things did not turn out the way they were supposed to turn out, you don't give up. You persist. You change things. That man has the ability to change. And that's the idea, I think, of Adam Memakom Kaparasom Nivra. Man was born, man was created from the place of his atonement. God took from the earth, of the place of the Mizbeach, of the altar, and he created man. Ein Adam Baret Sheshayasa Tovu Lo Yechta. From the very beginning of the creation of man, there was sin. But God endowed us with the ability to change our ways. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, in discussing the mitzvah of vidui and the mitzvah of tshuva, he says that the reason there is a mitzvah of vidui, a mitzvah of tshuva, a din of kapara, of receiving atonement, because if man, realizing he sinned, becomes identified consistently with a sin, if he's not able to separate himself from his sin. He will continue to sin. The idea of kapara, the idea of atonement, the idea of karbonos, of sacrifices, is that we could reestablish the relationship that we had with God. Yes, we sinned, but we don't give up. And as the Rambam pointed out so clearly in Hilchos Tshuva, man was created with the freedom of will, and he chose to do good or to choose bad. As a chayim ves a moves, as a tov ves a ra. But the same freedom of will that enabled man to choose one path over the other path, the same freedom of will gives man the ability to do tshuva, to reestablish his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God. Now, Adam HaRishon, when he sinned, and he was together with Chava, they were chased out or forced to leave Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And Adam HaRishon had to work and to toil in the land, as opposed to the way things were in the Garden of Eden, where everything was made for him and done for him. Adam HaRishon faced two challenges. One challenge was that he was separated from God. In the Garden of Eden, where God did everything, he was more likely to sense the presence of God. And now that he was left the Garden of Eden, it was not as easy, it was not as simple to sense the presence of God. But even a greater challenge, perhaps, was the fact that now he had to plant, he had to sow, he had to harvest, he had to do everything himself. And there was a tendency, there's a tendency of man that when he does something himself, there's a tendency of man to say, "Kochi v'otzim yodi asasafayil azah." It was my labor, my strength that did this. And we try very often, unfortunately, we push HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture. And this is the reason, to a certain degree, the Parsha Bikurim. Parsha Bikurim can be seen as a tikkun, perhaps, for the sin of for the sin of Cain, what was the sacrifice of Cain and Hevel? Hevel brought Hevel brought at his sacrifice, he brought the best of his flock. Havel brought the best of his flock, whereas Cain, on the contrary, made pri ha'adama from the fruits of the land. Havel was a shepherd, and he brought from the best of his flock. Cain did not bring from the best of his flock. Not only that, our sages tell us, he brought from the worst of that which he grew. The Medrash says he brought flax. And the question is, what was the significance of the carbon, of the sacrifice that Hevel brought as opposed to the sacrifice that Cain brought? But the answer is, Hevel saw that everything he had was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only it was from God, but it belonged to God. And he was not giving God a present. But when he gave the korban, when he gave the sacrifice, it was a symbol that everything he had was from God. So to give God the best that he had, since it all belonged to God anyway, Hevel did not consider it even a generous gesture, but that was the only thing he was able to do. It was a symbol. Whereas Cain, he was not concerned about the quality of the sacrifice, because he saw himself giving to God. And he felt that everything he would give would be a generous gesture. And in a sense, this was the same challenge that Adam HaRishon had. Adam, now that he had to work the land himself, he would say, there was this challenge. Maybe he would say, "Kochem v'otzem yadi asa sachayil hazeh." So the purpose of the sacrifice was to show that not only what was in Garden of Eden was given by God and belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even what he worked belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And also, the Tzfas Emes, when he talks, and this was Bikurim. What was the mitzvah of Bikurim? The mitzvah of Bikurim was a tikkun for the sin of Cain. We take from the first of our fruit, the fruit that we cherish the most, the fruit that we worked, that we toiled in Eretz Yisrael. And we bring that and we say, "You, God, gave it to me. Yes, I toiled in everything, but it's you who gave it to me. And in a sense, everything I have is really yours." And this was the challenge that faced Adam HaRishon when he left the Garden of Eden. This was the challenge, that this was the test, that Cain failed. And this was the challenge, that Hevel was successful in demonstrating that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Tzfas Emes, in talking about the difference between the carbon of Cain and the carbon of Hevel, The Svasema says another point, and I've mentioned it many times. The Svasema is not, it's not, I didn't see it in the Sefer, but I heard from my father that when he was a young boy in Warsaw, the Ger Chassidim in Warsaw used to say over in the name of the Svasema. And I found the same thought in the Alshich. What was the difference between the carbon of Kayin and the carbon of Hevel? The carbon of Kayin, by the carbon of Hevel, the Torah says, "Behevel hevi gamu mebchorasono." Hevel brought also himself from the best of his flock. Hevel didn't just bring the external carbon. He brought an internal carbon. He gave himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was establishing a relationship. It wasn't a momentary meeting. When you give somebody a present, when you give someone a present, that's a momentary meeting. But Hevel, Hevi Gamhu, he brought himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw himself as belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He established a relationship with God. You can have a meeting with God. But more important than a meeting with God is establishing an ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God. And I think, and this in a sense was the idea also regarding the carbon that Avram, what was the idea behind Karbanos? Now, I've mentioned a number of times the Rambam says that Karbanos sacrifices was only necessary because man became accustomed, had a drive for sacrifices, and had the Torah, a psychological drive for sacrifices, and had the Torah not provided for sacrifices, this drive in man would have led man to idolatry. It's because of that the Torah provided mitzvos that have to deal with sacrifices. And all the mefarshim, all the commentaries on the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim ask the question, but we see that the Avos gave karbanos, the Avos gave sacrifices, Adam Arishon gave sacrifices. How are we to understand the sacrifices? Certainly, the Avos would not have been driven to idolatry. But it's very interesting. My uncle said, not in answering the Rambam, but he mentions that when you take a look up till the time of the Akedah, up till the binding of Yitzchak, the Torah tells us that Avram made three mizbechos, three altars. But it doesn't mention that he gave sacrifices on the altars. My uncle points this out. My uncle said, so what was the purpose of the altar? And the answer is, the altar was a symbol of the fact that Avram Avinu was giving himself over to God. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizing the need, the man's need for sacrifices in the future, I think we could suggest that was the reason for the Akedah, to understand that the Akedah, the future generations, Yitzchak represented the future generations. Yes, there will be a need for sacrifices. But the most important thing together with the sacrifices is the Hevel Hevi Gamhu, to bring yourself, the future generations, together with the sacrifices that was necessary for the Torah to impose upon them, had to bring themselves together with their sacrifice. Yitzchak represents the future generations. Before Noach, all the sacrifices, the Adam gave a sacrifice, and Noach gave a sacrifice, and Cain Behevel gave sacrifices, because the main form of sacrifices was animal sacrifices. Man was not allowed to eat meat. Man was not allowed to eat meat before the time of Noah, and even at the beginning of Noah's lifetime, till after the sacrifice of Noah, man was not allowed to eat meat. So, but once man initially, when man became prohibited, when man became prohibited from meat, man didn't perceive the sacrifices as feeding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as giving food to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once man became permitted to eating meat, the idea in man's mind, in the mind of the idolaters, they began to see sacrifices as feeding God. And because they began to see they were giving something to God, they didn't see the carbon as a symbol of everything belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as everything belonging to God. And when did man get a license to be able to eat meat? Only after Noah's carbon, only after Noah's sacrifice, he got this license. He received this license to eat meat. So after the time of Noah's sacrifices, till the time of the Akedah, till the time of the binding of Yitzchak, there couldn't be any sacrifices. There could be mizbechos, there could be altars, but the altars were symbol of giving oneself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of creating a relationship with God, not just having a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once the Akedah took place, so the idea was the carbon, the sacrifice, the ram that was placed in place of Yitzchak, which was the symbol of the sacrifices of the future generations, that was a symbol of giving oneself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing that everything we have belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was the idea of having a relationship. It wasn't just a meeting, but it was the symbol of a relationship that existed. The word karban comes from the word, as the Mefarshim point out, karov, of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of coming close to God. And this is the idea of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the house of God, and we go there to give our karbanos. And we just went through the holiday of Sukkot, And we're looking forward to the time of the gshamim, of the rain, of the water. And we scream in our tefillos about mayim at this time of the year. Geshem. And during Sukkot, they would pour water on the mizbeach, on the altar. Symbolic of the source of everything, of all water, was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's very interesting. By the carbon of Noach, the Torah tells us, Vayorach Hashem Esreach HaNichoach, that God smelled the sweet smell of Noah's carbon, of Noah's sacrifice. What is the idea? But by the other carbonos that are given, we don't find by the avos, by Yorach Hashem Esreach and Yechoach. Yaakov, when he went down to Egypt, he gave a carbon also. But it doesn't say there by Yorach Hashem Esreach and Yechoach that God smelled the sweet smell of his sacrifice. Why? Why is it only by Noah? But the Tochad says, Bahashimosi es mitashechem, when you'll sin, God says, I will destroy your mikdash, below a riach bereach nichochachem, and I will not smell the sweet smell of your sacrifice. What's the idea? The idea is, as the Netziv points out, and my father in his Chiddushim pointed out, that there is a special halacha that's one of the things that a sacrifice has to be given, l'shem reach nichoach. It has to be given for a reach nichoach. And if the situation is such that God figuratively will not smell the sweet smell, the smell of the carbon will not be a sweet smell for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, figuratively, of course. So then we cannot, we're not allowed to give a carbon. According to some Shitos, the carbon with Kitchel Shaitav, Kitchel Asalavo, the carbon will be accepted. But it's not looked favorably on by God. And so there's a special halacha that when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, why is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed because God is not looking forward to our kabanos, to our sacrifices. God sees, we take a look at everything that took place. We take a look at everything that our sages tell us, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Sinas Chinam. First Beis HaMikdash, Avodah Zarah, Gil HaRayis, Shfichas Damim, all kinds of crimes, Shelo Birchu B'Torah Tchila. But it's very interesting, there's no emphasis about them not doing the Avodah properly. Why is it that all the crimes that are associated with the punishment of having the Beis HaMikdash destroyed has to do with things outside the Beis HaMikdash? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes and rewards Mida Keneged Mida. In the form of the sin is the punishment, because the purpose of the punishment is not vengeance, Chas V'Shalom. It's on the contrary, to teach us. But the answer is, the Jewish people saw the Beis HaMikdash as a place of having a meeting with God, not so much a relationship with God. When a couple is married, they have to be married outside the house, even when in the moments that they're not together, not just inside the house. In a sense, the Beis HaMikdash in the minds of the Jews became God's prison. God destroyed the walls of his prison. The Jewish people have to have a relationship with God everywhere they are. So the destruction, Bashi Moses Mikdashem, I will destroy your base and Mikdash below a reaparech nechocham. As the Netziv points out, that's a halacha, that's a law. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that's a message by God. I don't want your korbanos. Because you don't understand the idea behind korbanos, behind sacrifices. It's like a person who gives gifts to his spouse, a man who gives a gift to his wife. And that's totally improperly. And sometimes the wife will take the flowers or whatever it is and throw it back in his face. Gifts have to be a symbol of a relationship. And I think this was the idea of korbanos. We sinned. And in our minds, the relationship was broken off because it's just, we just had meetings in the Beis HaMikdash. We had meetings with God. But God doesn't want just meetings. God wants the meetings to be part of a relationship. And this is the idea. What was the purpose in Chassidus, especially Lubavitcher Chassidus? Why did God create the world? God created the world that he should have a Dira B'Tachtonim. He should have a residency down on earth, down in this world. I shouldn't even say earth. He should have a residency in the world. He should be together with man. In a sense, the whole world was the Beis HaMikdash initially. It was the joint residence of God with mankind. But because man sinned, lo yodin ruchi, God said, my spirit cannot be together with man. At the end of Parshas Bereishis. And because of this, the flood came. And God saw through the flood. So in a sense, the destruction of the world was not just the destruction of the world. It wasn't just the destruction of mankind, but it was the destruction of the residence of man together with God. It was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the universal Beis HaMikdash. It was the destruction of the universal Beis HaMikdash. And when, so in a sense, V'hashimosi es mikdasheichem, God said, I will destroy your mikdash. V'lo ariach bereach nechochachem. But so the Torah wanted to emphasize, even though the Beis HaMikdash, the residence of God together with man, was destroyed, and the world lay in ruins. But God said, God wanted man to know that he wanted to reestablish his relationship. You shouldn't think there is no hope. There is hope. So that's why here with this talking in Parshas Noah, after the destruction of the world, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So over here, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayorach Hashem es Reach HaNichoach. Reach HaNichoach means God is pleased. God is pleased with our korbanos. He wants a relationship, and he sees that man wants a relationship now with him also. And this was the significance of the korban. Now, the whole idea of the sacrifice that Noah gave. The whole idea behind everything was that the relationship between God and man to a large degree was destroyed. But the relationship can be reforged. It could be made again. It could be strengthened. And this is the idea of the Mekaparas Nivra. This world gave us the ability in this world to be able to fix, to change, to do a better job. In the previous worlds, it was just a law of causation. Things went from bad to worse. There was no hope for the future. It's interesting, the Torah tells us, after God said at the end of Parshas Bereishis, I will destroy mankind. The Noach Matzah Chen. Noach found favor in the eyes of God. Why is it that Noach, after God said he will destroy mankind? In other words, if God didn't destroy mankind, if the flood didn't come, Noach would not have been able to save the world. The destruction of the world was not an attempt to destroy mankind. On contrary, it was to save mankind. And this is because Adam Mekaparas Nivra. This world was created to give us the ability to change, to make change, to change our ways. The previous world was, and there was no ability to change. And that's why the Parsha, that's why this Parsha tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath that he will never destroy this world, because there will be times that people will sin, but Vayorach Hashem Esreach Nechoach, God saw that man can change his ways. The destruction of the flood gave man the ability to persist and to continue. And even when he sins, he will be able to fix his ways and to do tshuva. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, finish. Fine. Yeah.